Iran's president points out that Iranian nation will overcome obstacles. Iran's parliament speaker says enemies are plotting to cause rift among Muslim nations. Iran's foreign minister says Iran's principal policy is based on promoting peace and security in the region. Iran's deputy oil minister says Iran is bypassing sanctions, has no worries about petrochemical exports. A new Pakistani government says Pakistan will continue Iran gas pipeline project. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to the late edition of IYN in English News with me, Nima Chitsanz. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says the Iranian nation will overcome all obstacles despite pressures imposed by the enemies. President Ahmadinejad made a remark in an address to a group of people in Markazi province before winding up his one-day tour of the province. Ahmadinejad said bright future awaits the Iranian nation and the nation cannot be stopped by anybody. Commenting on the foreign pressures, sanctions and obstacles hurled by enemies on the way of the Iranian nation, President Ahmadinejad said enemies plan to impede the progress of the Islamic Republic, but thanks to God, no such thing had happened. Elsewhere, and during inauguration ceremony of the country's first space control and monitoring station, President Ahmadinejad said capacities in space domains should be fully utilized in order to gain an elevated and effective position in the international arena. President Ahmadinejad stressed that designing and construction of the center is a great achievement which makes Iran one of the few world countries that possesses such a technology. President Ahmadinejad also inaugurated Arak Airport runway development project. The president arrived in Arak to inaugurate 9 development projects which have been carried out in the fields of aerospace, energy, industry, housing, as well as air and railway transportation. Iran's Majlis speaker has warned against plots to sow discord among Muslim nations, stressing the importance of reinforcing unity in negotiations on key regional and international issues. Ali Larijani made the remarks in a meeting with the visiting head of Iran-Kuwait Parliamentary Friendship Group, Ahmad Abdul Mohsen Al-Malifi, in Tehran. Larijani said certain powers foster fear among Muslim countries and strengthen extremist and radical groups in the region in order to create rift among Muslim nations and weaken them. He pointed to the ongoing crisis in Syria and stated that political dialogue among different Syrian groups is the only solution to the unrest in the country. For his part, Al-Mualifi said, the Muslim Ummah is going through a sensitive time and urged using wisdom, dialogue and negotiations to remove obstacles in the way of the unity and progress of Muslim countries. Meanwhile, in a meeting with the Kuwaiti official, Iranian foreign minister said the Islamic Republic's principled policy is based on promoting peace, stability and security in the region. Ali Akbar Saleh pointed to the ongoing crises in the region, including the Syria crisis, and stressed the importance of determining Syria's fate by the Syrians without interference of foreign powers. Saleh called on regional countries to boost interaction in order to help the Syrian people and government resolve the crisis at the earliest. For his part, Al-Mualifi said, the intensified violence and sectarian strife would only inflict harm on innocents, calling for the resolution of problems on the basis of understanding and dialogue. Iranian Deputy Oil Minister has once again downplayed the effectiveness of the Western sanctions against the Islamic Republic. Abdul Hussein Bayat said, Tehran has adopted and implemented different strategies to bypass the embargoes and has no worries about exports of its petrochemical products. He further said expanding Iran's exporting cargo fleet, indigenizing petrochemical production technologies, and producing millions of products from crude oil are among the measures adopted by the oil ministry to counter the embargoes. Bayat underlined that Iran is not concerned about exports of its petrochemical products since it has various customers across the world. The remark was made weeks after the U.S. government blacklisted 8 companies in Iran's petrochemical industry. Most of the companies are private. This comes as the new Pakistani government has reiterated its determination to continue the joint gas pipeline project with Iran, saying the issue of energy is Islamabad's top priority. Pakistan's federal minister for planning, Ahsan Iqbal, said Islamabad will continue the work at the gas pipeline because such a vital project cannot be set aside in hard times like the present. Iqbal described the issue of energy as Pakistan's first, second and third top priority. Experts say the joint multi-billion-dollar pipeline is designed to help Pakistan overcome its growing energy needs at a time when the country of over 180 million people is grappling with serious energy shortages. At least 7 people, including 5 soldiers, have been killed and nearly 20 others have been wounded in a car bomb attack in Qadamiyah district of the Iraqi capital city of Baghdad. Police officials said the attack was carried out on an Iraqi army checkpoint at the entrance of the Shiite district. There has been no claim of responsibility for the bombing. On Saturday, another car bomb explosion claimed the lives of 4 people and injured 20 others, including children, in southeast Baghdad. Violence has spiked in Iraq in recent weeks. Iraqi Prime Minister has said militant groups and the remnants of the former Ba'athist regime are responsible for the latest wave of violence. Meantime, Iraqi Prime Minister traveled to the country's Kurdistan region for the first time in over 2 years in an effort to resolve the long-standing territorial and oil disputes. Nuri al-Maliki arrived at the Erbil airport, where he was received by Masoud Barzani, the president of Iraq's semi-autonomous Kurdistan region, and a delegation of senior Kurdish officials. Iraqi and Kurdish officials discussed the country's internal situation.
The region is going through a new storm, a reckless and sectarian tempest, a tempest of chaos in most countries of the region. And one of its most dangerous aspects is the return of the emergence of extremist organizations such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra Front, and other advocates of radicalism and sectarianism, sometimes regrettably backed by fatwas or religious decrees, a matter that brings back the ghost of fear of a return to violence, not only in Iraq, but in the whole region. And in fact, this is going on in the region now.
At least 2 Afghan children have been killed and several others injured in airstrikes by U.S.-led forces in the country's troubled northeast. The airstrikes happened in 2 villages in Badakhshan province. Several civilians, including women and children, were also injured in the attacks. U.S.-led foreign forces have killed thousands of people, including many civilians, in airstrikes since they invaded the country in 2001. The casualties inflicted by U.S.-led troops have sparked massive anti-U.S. protests in the past. The U.S.-led war in Afghanistan, which has caused record-high civilian and military casualties, has become the longest military conflict in the American history. The Syrian army has launched a major operation to clear the northwestern city of Aleppo of the foreign-backed militants in the country. Syrian army is now preparing to attack militant strongholds in the towns of Hayan, Khirbat Andan, Tel Rafat, and Azaz on the outskirts of Aleppo. The Syrian army has clinched victories against the militants in recent days, liberating the strategic towns of Qusair and Dabba in the west. Qusair was an important center and supply route for the armed groups. Damascus says a large number of militants, including Al-Qaeda-linked Takfiris, have been killed in recent battles. Meanwhile, foreign-backed militants opened fire on Iraqi border posts along the two countries' frontier, killing at least one guard and injuring 2 others. Turkish Prime Minister denounced his opponents as looters, urging his supporters to respond to protests by voting for his ruling party in local elections next year. Recep Tayyip Erdogan made the remarks amid widespread anti-government protest rallies in the country. Late on Saturday, tens of thousands of Turkish protesters poured into the streets in Istanbul as well as the capital Ankara and the western city of Izmir. The unrest, which has entered its 10th day, was triggered by the police violence against an environmental protest at Istanbul's Taksim Square on May 31st.
Everything is going worse, I think, because of Erdogan's speech is always his speech is always with anger, with hate of something. He's always emphasized on angry about people.
There may be elections in 7 months, but we are here to show what we are going to do at the polls then. Of course, what is important is our country. As we say, we will not let anyone divide it, whoever that may be. Country comes first. That's why we are here. We will show our resistance.
North Korea and South Korea have held the first working-level talks in years amid recent tensions in the Korean Peninsula. Government delegates from the two sides began the talks in the village of Panmunjom, the truce village on the border. The discussions focused on the issue of the suspended commercial links between the two sides, including the jointly run Kaesong Industrial Zone. Pyongyang and Seoul are also expected to hold an inter-Korean ministerial meeting on June 12 at the request of South Korean Unification Minister. Such ministerial talks have not occurred since 2007. Economic crisis in Europe has put a negative impact on Italy's manufacturing capacity, forcing companies in the recession-ravaged country to cut thousands of jobs. According to the latest figures, economic downturn has destroyed 15% of the country's manufacturing capacity. During 2009 to 2012, economic problems led to the closure of some 55,000 manufacturing companies in the country and the loss of some 539,000 Italian manufacturing jobs. Meanwhile, Italy's National Statistics Office stats that the jobless rate for people between the age of 15 and 24 rose to 40.5% in April, the highest since the institute started collecting data on Italy in 1977. A stat further revealed that joblessness soared to 12% in April after the March reading was revised up to 11.9% from an initial 11.5%. Italians have been staging protests against high unemployment, economic adversity, and hardship over a series of government-imposed austerity packages in the recent past. The government says the reforms are needed to create jobs, increase competition, and cut costs in the country. Thousands of protesters belonging to anti-austerity groups from across Europe staged a protest in Athens calling for radical changes in the economic policies of EU governments, which they blame for the ongoing economic crisis. Our correspondent has the scoop.
Anti-austerity groups from all over Europe gathered in Athens and opened a two-day forum that led to a march against horizontal cuts applied across the continent and especially in Greece. The event was sponsored by the European Trade Union Confederation and gathered more than 300 movements, unions and organizations. Europe stands on the edge of the cliff facing the abyss, many groups said in a joint manifesto that was published while thousands of people were taking to the streets.
I came to this demonstration because I want to show solidarity for the Greek people who are suffering because of the austerity policy. And this is a very symbolic place to have this demonstration and resistance for this policy of the Troika.
Demonstrators demanded an immediate cancellation of harsh fiscal pacts imposed on indebted countries, calling for a moratorium on debt repayments, more taxes on the rich, and a priority given on human beings over finance. People called for radical changes in policy, claiming their call was an act of solidarity toward Greek social movements in their struggle against austerity, aiming at converting Greece into the workshop of resistance.
It's very important to know that Europe changed of policy. The policy of austerity is the problem, not the solution. The solution is a relance policy with the money in services, in social policy, in health policies, and there it's the only solution to break with all the unemployment and the poverty and all the these bad things.
The major point about our participation at this demonstration is about the debt of all the countries in Europe mainly. That is the main point. We consider that the debt is not the problem of the people, but it's a problem of the Troika.
Some 5,000 participants are estimated to have participated in the gathering, including leading syndicalists, scientists, politicians, economists and activists who underlined the situation in Europe is generating a soaring social distress and that policies have to change towards solidarity and democracy. Greece is still caught in a multi-year protracted recession that has been exacerbated by salary and pension cuts. According to revised figures, the first quarter of 2013, the economy contracted 5.6%, while unemployment is still at 27%, with more of one out of two youths out of work. Thousands of people from all over Europe took to the streets to demonstrate against the austerity measures imposed by the Troika, against neoliberal policies, and against what has been described as a rule of markets over human beings. This is indeed the first ultra-summit organization movement that was born here in Athens, and many analysts are now waiting to see the evolution of the movement. Lucas Romanos, Shobaka Kabar, Athens.
And that's a wrap for now. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.